Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you speak. And Lord, we want to open up our hearts, open up our minds to you right now, Lord. We want to submit ourselves to your authority. We want to say, Lord, change us, speak to us, convict us, move in us, Jesus. In your precious name. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship. Thank you. You can take your seats. Yeah, the I United conference was absolutely amazing. And like what Nathan and Tristan had just said, we're very, very grateful. Grateful to be a part of a church like ours that invests in the next generation. It was amazing to see so many young people leaning into the Lord, growing. And we are very, very excited about the future because there are so many incredible young people stepping up into leadership, quality, quality young men and women that are saying yes to God, saying, God, here I am, use me. And so we as a church have the privilege to not complain about the future, but to invest in the future. And we get to change the future by investing in the next generation. So thank you so, so much. But I would encourage you to continue to pray with us and let's trust God together to see incredible things happen amongst our young people. Well, we are starting a four-part sermon series today on the book of Psalms as we get ready to actually read through the book of Psalms during our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Like they said, that is starting this coming Saturday. And what a better way to start our 21 days by having our first Saturday prayer. And so, yeah, come along to that. That's going to be really, really good. Today, we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 1. Now, I love the entire Bible. Every single book or passage is my favorite. But certainly, I think Psalm chapter 1 is my favorite. If you can have favorites. So Psalm chapter 1 is an incredible, incredible psalm. And it lays a great foundation for the future that God's got for us. And it talks about what it is that we need to do. And so we're going to start off by reading it. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV translation. And this is what it says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. I love the psalm because it talks about two different types of people. Two different types of people that are building their lives on two different things. The one is intentional and builds his life on God and on his word, and it actually gives us a promise and says that person will be blessed. In Psalm in verse 3, it actually says, whatever that person does will prosper. Imagine that. That God giving us a promise, hey, you can live this type of life, and if you live intentionally like this, whatever you do will prosper. I don't know anybody that doesn't want that. Anybody here want a life like that? Whatever you do will prosper. That's an incredible promise. It's an incredible promise. But it says there's another type of person that doesn't live their life intentionally or doesn't focus on what God tells us to focus on. And that person, they won't stand. And their life are actually like chaff that the wind blows away. But that's not who we are. We're the type of people that build our lives on him and on his word. And so I think a great question that we should ask ourselves is, what type of person are we becoming? And are we intentional about becoming the type of person that we want to be? So verse 1 and verse 2, let's read it again. It said, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Doesn't walk, stand, sit. Walk, stand, sit. I've noticed that often in life, people develop bad habits, make bad decisions, and those bad habits and bad decisions didn't just happen suddenly, it's often gradual. And I love the progression here, walking, standing, sitting. And it talks about people and voices, and sometimes you can walk past something, and maybe it's just a gradual mistake or something that happened by chance, but then somewhere along the line you decided to stand there. Then you went further from standing to actually sitting. You resigned yourself to it. You started to become comfortable with sin, comfortable with the wrong conversations, comfortable with the wrong thoughts. So I say, okay, well, I just resign. This is just who I am. This is my life. But that's not who we should be. We need to be intentional. So this is blessed. Blessed is the one who does not do this. In other words, we need to be intentional about what we're not doing. And I love it because it says that we can be blessed, and we are blessed if we live our lives intentionally. Sometimes we can look at other people and just say, well, that person's just blessed, or they're just so lucky. I wish my life was like that. But actually, yeah, it doesn't say. It says that if we want a blessed life, there are some things that we need to be intentional about. Blessed. To be blessed. To have God's favor on our lives. But it says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord. To delight ourselves in things. Who delights in the law of the Lord, on God's word. And who meditates on it day and night. To delight. I wrote a statement down that I think summarizes what Psalm 1 says. And it's this. It says, the direction of your life is determined by the delight of your heart. The direction of our lives is determined by the delight of our heart. Well, then we need to ask ourselves the question, what is our heart delighting on? What is our heart delighting on? The next series on Netflix? Food? Maybe the guy or the girl? Sometimes our hearts can delight on good things, but that's just because it's delighting on good things doesn't mean it's the right thing. So we need to be intentional about delighting ourselves on the word of God. And if we can know what our heart is delighting itself in, sometimes our heart can even delight itself in negative things and negative thought. But we need to be intentional about that. Like, what are we delighting our hearts in? And this is on his law, he meditates, or they meditate day and night. His law, God's word. To meditate on it day and night. That that God's word should be a delight. Now, if you've been following God for a while, probably come across the idea of actually reading God's word every day, having what is often called a quiet time. Spending time in God's word every single day. Now, what we need to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of thinking of God's word as a chore. But here it says that we need to delight ourselves in it. Not something, okay, well, geez, I'm in a rush this morning, quickly, let me just get a verse in. Okay, read my verse, okay. And then we rush off into the day. Like, no, it needs to be the delight of our heart needs to be God's word. I wake up in the morning, I get to read God's word today. I come before it with excitement. I come before it with expectation. Now, we need to almost teach ourselves to think like that, to get our brains to realize this is the word of God. The creator of the world wrote this to me. I wonder what he's going to say to me. It's going to be amazing. Am I ready for it? Am I excited for it? When I open the Bible, do I just think, anything could happen? Because anything can happen. It's God's word. It's alive. It's active. Is it the delight of our lives? Then it says we must meditate on it day and night. In other words, we mustn't just read it and forget about it. Now, maybe for you, the best time for you to read is at night. That's great. Read the word of God at night. Maybe for you, it's at lunchtime, or maybe for you, it's in the morning. I choose to read the Bible for me in the morning. But if you're doing it at night, then remember what you read and try to think about it throughout the day. Like for me, I need help, so I need to help myself. So I often write down something that stood out to me, and I write it down, and I try to remember during the day. I try to bring it up in conversations during the day. The word meditate is different to, often we can think of meditation as like an Eastern thing. And actually, biblical or Christian meditation is filling your mind with something. Eastern meditation is emptying your mind, like, don't empty your mind. Fill your mind with the word of God. Like, fill it. The word actually is the word murmur. To think about it, you should be behind the scenes consistently, to chew on it throughout the day, to meditate on it. We often, during the day, we're thinking about different things, or we're meditating. All of us are meditating on something if you actually think about it. You're thinking about that last conversation with that person, or we think about this political situation. We think about, what's going to happen at work, or we meditate on our finances. Oh, wish that person did this, or why didn't they do that? Or, so there's some things that are dominating our hearts and dominating our thoughts, and actually if we do that, we're going to be in trouble. But here it says that we need to be intentional about what you're meditating about. What are you thinking about? What's dominating your thoughts? It should be the word of God, because if it is the word of God, it changes us on the inside. It changes our minds and our hearts. We can have peace in the middle of a storm. We can prosper. We can prosper. Now, I've realized something as well, is that it's way more important to prosper on the inside than it is to prosper on the outside. Because sometimes everything can be going well on the outside, but actually you've got no peace, you've got no happiness, you've got no joy. But actually God's word talks about how we prosper on the inside. The world can be falling down around you, but you've got this bounce in your step. You've got a joy in your heart. You've got a woohoo, bring it on. Life is amazing. Why? Because your heart is healthy. Your mind is healthy. One of the biggest things majority of people are struggling with in the Western world at the moment is mental health and emotional health. Here the word of God teaches us what we can do to have an healthy emotional heart. Have a healthy mental heart. Meditate on God's word day and night. It's a lovely English word called to ruminate. To ruminate, which is what you dwell about, what's dominating your heart. And it comes from the idea of cattle, where they would eat some grass, and then they've got these different stomachs, and they would go and sit, and they would re-chew the grass that they ate a few hours ago. And we often do that with experiences. We're re-chewing, we're replaying things over and over in our heads to ruminate on something over and over in our heads. But here it says, no, you need to re-chew or rethink about the word of God every single day. Now, what does that look like for me? I'm using this Bible as part of my quiet time. I really enjoy it. Because it takes me through the Bible in the year, basically. So I read through the Bible in the year, and it's helpful because it's got a date, the dates on it. So I know if I'm falling behind, it helps me keep in line with where I am in my reading plan. And so you can see that I am over there at the moment, which is halfway, just over halfway. Woohoo! And when I read the Bible, maybe you're better than me, you probably are, but I have to read with something in my hand. like a little highlighter. Because otherwise I find if I read it, then I read through the passage and I forgot what I read. Like my mind was actually somewhere else while I was reading. Did I even read anything? And I read it, but I didn't read it. So I have this with me because it helps me to know if I actually read it. So you'll see if I read it or not, because I actually know if I read it. And then I try to slow down. Now sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I get what seems to be nothing out of it. Like read it doesn't make sense to me. Well, I read it and it's just information. But by faith, I'm just putting that into me. I'm just putting it in. There's other times where as I'm reading it, like wow, like something jumps out at me. And we need both. We just need you, and I can encourage you, just read it. You may, well, it doesn't make sense. Just carry on reading it. And when I read it, I try to put myself into it. I try to imagine it and try to put my brain into it and try to see if I was there, what was going on. And often when I do that, then I start to see things and understand things. And that's almost how God starts to speak to me and show me things. Like, let me give you an example. On Monday, I was reading, and currently I'm making my way through Chronicles. And I was reading out of 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, the story is told of David when he's supposed to go to war and he doesn't go to war. Now, in Samuel, the story is told again of same story. But in Samuel, it adds in some details. It says, when the kings go to war, David didn't go to war. He stayed behind. And then while he stayed behind and his army's fighting, even though the kings were supposed to go to war, he doesn't go to war. He stays behind. And while he's staying behind, he's on his rooftop in the afternoon. He sees a lady that's bathing, that's got no clothes on. He thinks she's really nice. Anyway, he ends up having an affair with her. And then she gets pregnant to cover up the affair that he had. He has the guy's husband killed. And that's actually the downward start of what is a very, very bad time in David's life. Now, I know that story fairly well, but in Chronicles, it doesn't actually mention Bathsheba, the lady, or the affair, or Uriah, her husband, that he ends up getting killed. It actually gives other details that are quite amazing. And so I'm reading this, and I just thought I'd share with you, as I was reading, what I felt God say to me. Is that okay? Let's give you a peek into my quiet time for Monday. Is that all good? When I have a quiet time, I put my glasses on because I want to see better. No. So it's not going to come up on the screen. I just thought I'd read it straight out of my Bible. It says, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, in the spring when kings march out to war, Joab led the army and destroyed the Ammonites' land. He came to Rabbah and besieged it, but David remained in Jerusalem. Joab attacked Rabbah and demolished it. So Joab is one of his commanders. When the kings go out to war, David doesn't go. Joab actually goes and he actually wins this big battle. David is waiting in Jerusalem doing what he shouldn't be doing. But then it says this, then David took the crown from the head of the king and placed it on his head. He discovered the crown weighed 75 pounds of gold. Okay, so David takes a crown from a battle he didn't win, and he puts that crown on his head. And then he discovers the crown is 75 pounds. Now, 75 pounds, that's 34 kgs. That's a heavy weight. 34 kgs, that's, if you try to think, well, how can I explain that? This a box of milk with 6 boxes, that's 6. So that's 5 and a bit boxes of that weight on your head. That must be really uncomfortable. That must weigh you down. And I started to thought to myself, he's wearing a crown that he shouldn't be wearing, and it must have weighed him down. Made himself very heavy. You can't move properly when you've got so much weight on your head. Then I thought about it a little bit more. I thought, you know, if I try to put 34 kilograms on my head and I'm walking around, I could probably get injured very easily. I could get hurt very easily. Then I realized, you know what, that's a lot. That's a lot of times that's why people get hurt and get injured. Why people are weighed down because they're putting crowns on their head that they shouldn't have. Because you and I weren't meant for crowns. What does a crown do? Draws attention to myself. Hey, look at me. Look how awesome I am. All our battles, we didn't actually win. God won our battles. He deserves our crowns, not us. I don't think we were made for crowns. I think he's made for the crown. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelations, it says one day we're going to lay down our crowns at his feet because he's saying he's worthy of all glory. Maybe that's why people get offended easily. They get injured easily because they're trying to wear crowns they shouldn't have. Nobody thanked me. Nobody recognized me. Do they know what I've done? Do they know who I am? Offense. I deserve this. I deserve that. Actually, let's take our crowns off. Anyway, that's my quiet time for Monday. So sometimes I try to put myself in. I try to imagine what it would be like to wear 34 kgs of gold on your head. Not very comfortable. So I read that and I write it down. I try to write things down. And then I try to talk about it. Like we're in conversations all the time. But try to talk about it. Don't, when you have a conversation about your quiet time in the morning, to talk about it. Don't say, hey, I had the most amazing quiet time. Do you know I read? No, like don't brag about your spiritual life. But talk about it. Hey, I was reading this verse. It's such an interesting verse. Have you read it before? Let that be part of our conversation in the day so that we ruminate, so we're meditating on God's word. What an incredible verse. And then verse 3 says this. The person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. To be planted, not to be wild, not accidental, but to be intentional. To plant is intentionality, and we need to be intentional about where we plant ourselves. Where are we planting? What friends do we have? Are we intentional about the life that we're living? I'm excited that we're starting launching our small groups again for term 3 this week. And if you're not yet in a small group, you need to get into a small group. You might say, well, Paul, I tried a small group and I didn't like that small group. But don't worry, we got lots. Go find another one. Yeah. If you don't like that one, change. It's okay. We're okay with that. But we all want you to be in a small group. We've got all sorts of types of small groups. But get into a small group. And in our small groups, we discuss the word of God and we meditate on it. It says that we will be like streams. Be like people planted by streams of water, constant supply, not seasonal, in season and out of season, bearing fruit. But fruit doesn't come instantly. Fruit comes from a life that is planted in the right things. The truth is that hidden roots determine visible fruits. And sometimes we can look at fruit and we go, oh, I want that fruit. The question is, okay, well, where's my roots? And I need to be intentional about where I put my roots. Then verse 4 and verse 5 is a warning. It says, not so the wicked, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. Chaff is something that's light. It's got no weight to it. It doesn't have roots. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. We spoke about this last week, how there is a day coming in every single one of our lives, the day where there is going to be a judgment. Righteous to eternal life, wicked to eternal judgment. The righteous, we're going to be rewarded for the life that we live, and we're going to be able to stand on that day, living for that day. And then verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. God watching over us. God, and I love the way this is written because it talks about personal, that God is watching over you. To have God watch over us. When we live our lives according to his purposes and according to his plans and we build our lives on his word, He watches over us. To watch over us. 21 days of prayer and fasting coming up. It's wonderful. It's exciting. Different things that you can fast. But I encourage you to take a step. Maybe fasting, maybe you've never done it before. I encourage you to do it. We're going to be reading through the book of Psalms, but you don't have to wait until Saturday to start reading the Word of God. Just maybe your quiet time's great already. Can I just encourage you just to spend a little bit more, just to seek Him a little bit more? Maybe it starts with 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Maybe it's half an hour. I don't know. But be intentional about having a quiet time. But it's not just about having a quiet time. We have a quiet time so that we can meditate on God's Word day and night. It's not about ticking a box and getting it done. It's allowing ourselves to be filled with the Word of God. Like building our lives on His Word and just reading it. And like I said, sometimes it's going to make sense. Sometimes God's going to speak to you directly out of the passage. Sometimes you're just going to read it. But you just be faithful to do what you're supposed to do and let God be faithful to do what He says He's going to do. It was to help us just to live the life He's called us to live. So can I ask you to stand with me to your feet? And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to commit our 21 days of prayer and fasting into God's Word and into God's hands. Like Nathan said early on, maybe you've never fasted before. On the back, there's some little... These booklets are available for 20 Rand at the welcome desk. Please go pick one of them up. And it's just got even some guidance if you've never fasted before, what it's about. Some people fast to lose weight. That's not why we fast. We fast to focus on the Lord. That's why we fast. To draw our attention to Him. We fast to say no to some of the things we really like so that we can say yes to Him. So just some points that Marinette wrote on the back here that I think are helpful. Fasting isn't a diet, it's a discipline. If you mess up a day, it's okay. Just carry on. Don't give up. And certainly don't do it alone. Like, let's gather together. Get a small group. If you're not in a small group, join a small group. Do it with your family. Do it with your friends. Let's read together. Let's study together. Next Sunday is part two of our sermon series on the book of Psalms. Let's gather together. Let's read it together. Very excited about it. But right now, let's come before God and let's lift our time up to Him. Lift our minds up to Him. Let's lift up the meditations of our heart up to Him. Lord Jesus, we want to come before You. We just want to commit this next week, this next month into Your hands, Jesus. Lord, we want to spend our time, our minds, our thoughts in You and on Your Word, Lord. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be more disciplined. Help us to focus our time and attention. Whether we're spending time in Your Word in the morning or in the evening, God, I pray that it would come alive to us, Jesus. Even as we just commit our 21 days of prayer and fasting into Your hands during the month of August, Lord God, we pray that You do incredible, incredible things in us, Lord, as we seek You. We thank You that You promise us time and time again that when we seek You, we will find You. When we seek You with all of our hearts, Lord. And I pray that You'd help us to turn off the distractions and focus on You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.